Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up. This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary, a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Happy holidays. Oh, the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holidays to you.
Aww. That was like every note.
Every note.
You sang all of the notes.
Do you, like, I feel like I'm a mediocre singer.
You're not bad.
I'm not bad.
No, you're definitely not bad.
With some like guidance.
Yeah, some control.
Christopher McClure's in the house.
Hey, everybody.
Fellow member. And I would say an annual, now a first annual member of the Dead Dads Club.
Yeah, well, it's been a little over a year.
Yeah, a little over a year.
For me.
Happy Dead Dads Club, everybody, anybody who's a part of it.
No one wants to be a part of it. Well, some maybe do.
Some maybe, well, yeah.
You know?
Some maybe do, because not all dads are good.
That's right.
Some of them are fucking assholes.
Yeah. I mean, but it can mean a lot of things if you hear somebody had a bad dad.
Yeah, it's what's the level of that?
Right, but they could have left, they could have been a dick, they could have been there but absent, physically, emotionally abusive. It could have been, it could be a lot. If somebody says they have a bad uncle.
I feel like that's standard.
It's just one thing.
It's fingers.
Yeah. It's, wow, you've really filled out. Get over here, let me have a look at you, do a turn. Oh.
I have had an uncle say that to me.
Come on.
Yes. Yes. Everyone has a creepy uncle. That's why when I talk about it on stage, it hits.
The room just gets silent.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, it's a little too real.
Yeah,
they're like,
no one forgets their first kiss.
Dude, my dad was not a creepy uncle because he wasn't uncle to many, but my cousin Tracy, her nickname for him was Drunkle Joe.
Drunkle Joe. he would just get drunk and funny and punched out, right?
Yeah, he would just like, my dad, alcohol didn't alter his personality. It just heightened his goofy, jovial attitude.
What could he do? How many crispy boys or hard stuff?
He would start like on a model diet with like Michelob Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd pack like, you know, he'd do probably like a baker's dozen.
Jesus.
And then he'd go into vodka soda because he was very like about his waistline.
Are you kidding? He was vain?
He was like vain about how he looked.
Yeah,
isn't
so
that
he's
funny?
Just, like eating a birthday cake worth of fucking carbs and sugar.
Just putting away a gallon of fucking Mick Ultra.
Give me a Mick Ultra. Yeah. Little did
what
he,
about your dad?
Chevis on the rocks.
Chevis?
Yeah, double Chevis on the rocks.
Fancy.
Carlin,
go. You're going to be motherless if you keep sniffing my crotch while I'm trying to podcast. Chevis on the rocks.
I have nothing to add to that, Carlin, but I do think you should go. as a matter of fact, my girlfriend Lizzie, on the year anniversary of my dad's death, we went out on my boat and she surprised me. She called my brother and found out what my dad's drink was, and which is Chevis. And
is it Chevis or Chivas?
Chivas? I don't know. It's fucking, it's a hammer.
That's like a fucking ship captain cocktail.
It is. So she surprised me with a bottle of Chevis and a couple of glasses and some rocks, and we went out and
you better have finger blasted her for that. That's romantic. That's so thoughtful.
It was so good.
See, things like that are better than gifts.
But 2.5 Chevis is on the rocks, and we're both crying messes on the back of the boat. Like, she didn't even meet the guy.
I don't have a dad.
She never even met the guy. She's just like, this is so sad.
Did you?
I mean, my dad? Yeah, in phases. Spurts. In spurts.
You know, like, your dad, rate him as a father, 1 being bad, 10 being the best.
Oh, shit. I mean,
I know this is like, there's
rough
levels to it.
Yeah. Okay, so he automatically gets a 6 for never hitting me with a fist or jerking me off.
For sure.
Right?
That's, I mean, I think you can start at a 6 if there's no fisting or fingering.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
No penetration.
No, I never saw his dick. I couldn't pick it out of a police lineup, so.
I saw my dad's dick once, but it was only.
You were cleaning it.
Right?
He was asleep, right? Wasn't he asleep?
I saw
I feel like I've heard you on stage talking about seeing your father's dick.
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times, you know, in his last month.
We're
going to
shave a few fucking points off of Joey P for that one.
Sorry, buddy. I was 3 36.
He just took a step down from the fucking. He's not taking the bronze.
But it never looked like a dick. That was a weird thing. Like when I was 3, it looked like a cat because I didn't have any perception or context.
What kind of fucking cats?
Well, I'm just saying, like, as a little girl, you don't know what. You don't have any sexual context. I was just like, I thought it was a pet. It was a new family cat. And then as a 36-year-old, still didn't even look like a dick. It looked like it looked like an injured cat.
I'm fighting the mental image. I'm just fighting it off. Right now I'm going, what do I need at the store when I leave here? What can I stop off and get? Yeah, I don't want to think about it. Oh, there it is.
I would say my dad was a solid 9.8.
Yeah, you had a great dad. My dad was, he was there until I was 12, and then he split. And he split kind of shitty. He never abused us. He was never a dick. He never told me I couldn't do anything. Like, you'll never do that. He was never that dude. It was more like, hey, Dad, I wanted to be a musician, a professional musician when I was, from the time I was like 6 or 8. And he was always like, huh.
But so not like encouraging.
It wasn't like, oh, this is how you do it. It was just like, huh. But it was, it was never like, he never, you know.
He wasn't like engaging?
No, he just didn't know. He didn't really know how to be. And then.
And when he split, like what, how did he, was he just there and then gone? Or did he leave a note?
No. He was having an affair with his high school sweetheart.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So
he left like an asshole. Like,
typical.
And that sucked. And he was just, I remember him sitting my brother and I down when they separated. And he goes, look, you know, and my brother's, I'm 12, Brett's 15, 16. And he goes, look, I've been living for this family, raising you boys. And now I just want to go out and start living for me.
What?
And I'm like, I'm fucking 12.
Yeah,
do you have
also,
any idea what's going on with my fucking nuts right now? Because I don't.
Yeah, can I have a conversation about that?
Just like,
and you don't get to stop being, you never stop being a parent. Even if you leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
still the father.
No, the deal, yeah, it's a lifelong deal.
It's a lifelong deal.
But
that's so fucking selfish.
He was just not a strong dude. Just not a strong dude. And, his dad sucked. And his dad's dad was fucking awful. So I guess, he was.
Are you scared?
No, I'm fine. I mean, they're getting better.
You're going to break the chain?
They're slowly getting better. Slowly getting better. I think
you're
God. He set the bar nice and low. I could jump a fucking skateboard over it. But no, he split. And then we were broke forever. And then when I was 22, he moved in. He came back. And he moved into my house. He lived on my couch.
He came back?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It was like a mic drop. And then he came back and asked for like cab money. He was like, hey, look.
That's really fucked up.
I said
it
was out, but can you help me? As a matter of fact, when he died, I had an old British friend call and check on me like every day.
Andy?
Andy Gould, yeah.
And Andy Gould sounds like...
He talked like this, and he called me, and I called. He was the first person I called. My brother told me that they found Dad. He called me first thing in the morning, and I called Andy as I was driving over to my brother's house. And I wake him up at like 7:30, and he's like, hello. And I go, hey, bud, listen. He goes, is everything okay? And I go, no, my dad died. And he goes, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry to hear that. There's nothing I can say. What happened? And I told him, he had a heart attack or, I don't know, his head exploded. I didn't see the police report. But and he goes, yeah, though, just, this really, I'm so sorry. Now, where are you going? I'm like, I'm on my way to my brother's. He goes, oh, okay, yeah, listen. Hey. Can you do me a favor? Can you call me back in like an hour? Because I was sleeping. I'm like, you motherfucker. So he calls.
Was he kidding?
No. So he calls me like later in the day. And he called me two or three times that day. And then he called me every day. That was on a Monday. He called me every day that week. And I spent a lot of time with my brother and his family that week. And then Friday night, I stayed at my brother's house so he and his wife could go out and be adults. And I put the girls to bed watching Police Academy.
Not
which, by
a
the
creepy
way,
uncle.
No, but there's a blowjob scene in that movie.
Awkward.
Yeah, just heads up. If you it's not a perfect classic for a 9 and 11 year old. Luckily, they were asleep, I think. So anyway, but he calls me at like 10 that night, Friday night. And he goes, hey, just calling to check in. What's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm over at Brett's. Everything's fine. I'm with the girls. And actually, I'm feeling fine, man. Thanks for checking on me. He goes, hey, good, good, good. listen, I got a quick question. hey, do you think I could borrow $300? And I was like, he's like a multimillionaire, right? He's managed everyone. And
he's
like a huge fucking house in the Hollywood Hills and everything. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, of course. Are you okay? And he goes, hey, yeah, I'm fine. I don't need the money. I'm just trying to fill a void in your life.
A Brit with a lisp filling your void.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good dude, though.
He is a great dude.
When was the last time you saw your dad before he passed away?
I saw him.
Because I know we podcasted about this,
yeah,
but I don't
know. I saw him a month earlier, and then I talked to him like a week earlier. And you know what the weird thing is? Like, he never saw me do stand up, but I sent him a clip. I emailed him a clip of me doing stand up, and I'll never know if he watched it.
Well, he did, and that's what killed him.
That's what I killed.
Because he was found at his computer.
Yeah.
So your stand up, you're literally killing. You should feel proud of yourself.
That might have been my first decent gig, might have been my only one, right? I should think, well, that gave me an agent. They're like, what are your credits? I should have that for credits. Yeah, up next. All right, our next comedian killed his father.
You said I killed my dad when I called him and then he passed away.
Yeah, that's right. That
I remember you were one of the first people I spoke to after that happened, that early in the morning. Do you know that?
He texted me. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, it was
because it was too early for Farmer Boy to be up. Yeah. And I told you the whole story of me calling, and I told this on the podcast last week. So if you're listening and you're wondering what I'm talking about, listen to last week's episode.
You got a random message from a dude on Instagram, another comedian.
From John Heffron, sent me a message. And, you know, I told you I wrote, call your, it's still on my bathroom mirror. It says, call your dad, because
so great.
Dealing with their memory going is fucking scary.
Yeah,
it's scary. And like I allowed that to be how I led my day, just to be, not to call him because I was afraid of what he wouldn't remember and what he wouldn't say and that.
It's just, yeah, it's hard to face.
It's really hard to face because it's basically you're on a conveyor belt and everything's burning around you and you're heading towards a huge fucking fire.
I mean, that's how you see it. You would be the shittiest motivational speaker. Yeah, you should just go talk to teenage girls. Just 12
Tony,
to, yeah, just 12 Tony to 13 Robbins. Year olds. Well, you got your periods now, huh? Well, I'll tell you about the dumpster fire you're about to get into.
Well, you're right. There's I mean, the perspective goes on both ends. Like, I'm talking about the worst days where you just feel like totally scared. Carlin, go lay down. Stop being needy. This is how animals get left alone on the side of a highway. Go lay down. I'm talking about my dead dad. You don't even have a dad, Carlin.
Yeah, his your parents are definitely dead.
your parents are definitely dead. Oh my God, most dogs' parents are dead.
And she's not your real mom, by the way. Yeah, go lay down.
Carlin, go lay down. Go lay down and get in your bed and stay. In your bed. I wish you guys could hear him whining. Go. Get. Lay down.
It's so weird.
Good. Stay.
This is like being around someone when they scream at their kids in front of you.
I don't know what to do. I raised my voice. I didn't scream. I would have you know.
Oh, okay.
It was a little bit of a yell.
No, it's fine.
Are you texting Peter right now?
I gotta go.
I feel bad because, you know, you're still reeling with your mother. You're still losing her.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you... So your dad's dead and you're still losing
September
your mom.
September 11th last year. And then...
Never forget.
And then mom...
And your mom is still... It's the most brutal... That's the part where I'm saying where it's just... That reality is just so fucking heavy. Where you
it's
have
been
to
6
mourn
years.
Them.
It's been 6 years. The worst, you know... I want to say the worst if it's over, but I'm sure I'll be a total shit show when, you know... During the funeral.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of that is like, I'm just not thinking about it. But, you know, the worst is the transition. You were on like the fucking expressway.
I mean, it honestly was like a crash
course
in Alzheimer's. You were
literally like, get your fucking degree in 9 months.
What's the crash
course? Online. Yeah.
And we were, you know, the thing that I've learned from reading about the stages of grief is that literally we were going through the stages of grief the whole year because we started to lose him. And we were like in denial and bargaining and accepting and then, you know, coming to terms with it and then going through it all over again towards the end where we're realizing that we're actually...
I just don't know that you can really move through those phases, fully move through those phases with the reality of the, you know, they're still here.
It's so weird.
You know, like there's a finality in that my mom will never speak again,
yeah,
or walk again, or, you know, I saw her recently and she looks at me and she smiles, but I know she doesn't recognize me. It's just,
you don't know that. You don't, you know what I mean? Like
maybe
you just as much as you don't know, like, what's going on, because it's such an elusive disease.
Yeah, because well, I it put can a only pen in her hand and she came up with nothing. I gave her three. I was like, is it Ted Danson? Huh?
Pen in her hand.
Is it Billy Ocean or your son Chris? I mean, I really softballed it into her and she couldn't.
She couldn't even.
I've had a better luck doing like a Ouija board with a 3-year-old.
Could you ask if my dad's around? I feel like my dad's ghost would be too drunk to find
out
where I am.
He's in the toilet right now. He's like, oh, it's running right through me.
I'm not going to see him. I'm just going to smell him. It's just going to be his fart cloud is just going to be following his soul around everywhere.
Well, you know, the beauty, and we talked about this when we spoke the morning that you lost your dad. You get to, like, now you get to grieve.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
also, you've been in shock this whole last year.
I've been in such shock.
Fucking. It was like Saving Private Ryan. It was just like, what fucking movie is this?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, another bomb's coming.
Was that someone's tummy? What's going on?
It really, and like, you know, I still haven't processed it. I really still haven't processed it.
We haven't slowed down enough.
No, I haven't slowed down enough. And
I'm saying December 28th. You are going pear-shaped. You're going to go, all the gifts are open. The fudge has been eaten.
Oh, I ate everything over Thanksgiving. I ate so much.
I'm looking at you. That tapeworm is alive and well.
Timmy's doing great.
Oh, my God.
Timmy the tapeworm is doing great. Like, I must have a tapeworm because, honestly, but no, it's just my metabolism. Like, I've sharded 6 times since you've been here.
Yeah. You gave me 2 solid bugles when I walked through the door.
You walked in the door and I was like...
I don't know if we could hang out if that came out of you.
I got these books from, was it Debbie De La Rosa or Behavior Beth? One of my amazing fans sent me Farts in the Wild, Jurassic Farts, and Farts, A Spotter's Guide. Do you want to hear a meerkat fart?
I don't not want to hear a meerkat fart.
I don't even know what that is. I don't buy it. Mm-mm. No, I don't buy that at all. Cat fart. I've never heard a cat fart.
Not a fan.
I'm cute.
That sounds like Diplo's last single. I think that was, and it's probably Fuck Me, like number 6 right now.
It probably is Fuck Me number 6. It's climbing on the charts.
Man.
I can't get enough of these books. Dad?
Mm.
Yeah, it was, I called you. I called you that morning because I didn't know who else besides my closest family in, you know, I didn't know who else would understand.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the greatest things about being in a situation like that where you're fucking heartbroken and you're just getting... Like when you're that vulnerable and you're that shattered, to be able to speak to somebody else that can know what you're feeling is the best.
And I told you how, you know, with the whole thing about having call your dad in the mirror, being afraid to call him. That Sunday before I had, like, it literally felt like the universe was shooken up. I felt like something was wrong internally. I was like completely panic stricken all day long. Panic attack in the kumquats on FaceTime with my sister in the grocery store. She couldn't hear me. She said I had to keep repeating myself. John Heffron, that comedian, sends me that message saying my mom's going through it too. You're not alone. And I really needed it at that time. With all the messages I could have opened, anyone that could have said anything else, something from you, something from my mom, mm-hmm. a random fan, it happened to be this comedian, and I told him I needed this because I just had a panic attack near the kumquats in the grocery store. I thought I was going deaf and I was losing my hearing. I didn't have to tell him all that information. I didn't have to give him all of that. Because I said the thing about hearing, he said, well, just so you know, hearing is the last sense to go. So keep talking to him. And that changed my whole fucking day. Just that one little message from him. And then coming back after my gig at night and deciding to finally call him, even though I couldn't actually speak to him, having the nurse go in and tell him that I love him and that it was me. And I told you that, and that he died. You know, my sister called me. I fell asleep. My sister called me 20, 25 minutes later, and he had gone. He had died. And then you told me I killed my dad.
Yeah, I was like, and you did it.
And then you came over my house the next day with a box.
Yeah. A banker's box.
A banker's legal box that says McClure's Dead Dad Starter Kit.
That's right.
Sponsored by Busy Lizzie.
That's right. My girlfriend. It was her idea.
I mean, this should be...
In the box of stuff was her idea.
This needs to be a business.
Putting you in the Dead Dad Club is mine. But Lizzie, she's so thoughtful. She's just such a love.
Honestly, get back in your bed now. You are motherless. Go. Honestly... People need more shit like this in their lives for tragedy. Because there's, oh God, you could get sucked into that sorrow.
Yeah.
Well, not that you shouldn't allow that, you shouldn't honor that emotion and expel it and feel it and have it run through you. But a Dead Dad's Club starter kit?
Yeah. Box? That's a good one.
Where's right? that? I want that. That's like a business. We should start that for people.
So there's a huge difference between suffering and sadness, right? People get bummed out.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm down. I'm just sad. And it's like sometimes you're not sad. You're suffering. You're resisting.
Yeah.
Suffering is saying, like, this should not be happening.
Right.
You know, you haven't accepted that it's fucking happening.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that when you move from suffering into sadness, and you can move into sadness with levity or with somebody going, fuck, I know what you're feeling right mm-hmm. now. Just, it's happening and get into it. You can get sad and you can, sadness is healing.
It is.
Your lung capacity increases. Like, you sleep like a motherfucker.
You sure
when
do.
You cry like crazy.
Oh my God.
Like, your body gets really connected and it's cathartic to cry and to be sad. It's different than depressed. It's different than suffering. You're not resisting anything when you're crying. It's actually
you're accepting
it's
it.
A real emotion.
Yeah, it is a real emotion.
And rather than resistance. And then, you know, having people like, you know, my brother and I can kind of joke about it. We can kind of joke about mom a little bit, but he's not a big feelings dude. He's a fucking corporate litigator.
Yeah.
And he fights his feelings.
He's suffering.
He is suffering.
You're sad.
I'm sad, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. You accept it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you cried in my sink a bunch of times.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. And I also, it took me a while to be okay with, like, being that guy, which means being a slower, like, I'm not going to try to laugh and dance my way out of it.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is our MO.
It is our MO. But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you've got to put on those pants as well and laugh and dance through it to get your shit done. But you also have to realize that has repercussions.
Oh, your fucking ticket's getting punched one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like you're not
going to avoid it.
Yeah, you're either going to end up with a fucking tumor or...
Or a whole weekend.
Or an extra 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Or
you don't accept that sadness, you're going to shart.
Somebody's going to cut you off and you're just going to go murder
them. You're going to lose it.
There was one
day where I had stuffed, you know, maybe it was after like doing a weekend of shows or something after he passed. There was a day where I honestly almost threw something across a parking lot, like in the parking lot of the grocery store. I think I couldn't get something out of the car.
Yeah, but you could also have been moonsick.
It might have been a combination. But you know, just something so little.
She's got the strength of four Jessamays. Back up.
I almost fucking chucked like some glass jar, just like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, well, anger's in there, and anger's good too. I mean, working it all out is the name of the game. You know, working it all out, rather, because the more you resist it, the more cancerous it gets. And having people, you know, that you can speak to directly. I mean, look, a lot of people fucking suck. A lot of people are like, you know, you go to try to. You and I have been around people to where you're talking about your dad, and then they immediately jump in and start talking about themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't, that's not what you need.
Right.
You know, what you need is someone to go, either I know what you're feeling and I get it, and holy shit, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Or you need somebody to go, I can't even imagine what you're going through right now.
But I can listen.
But listen, tell me all about it.
Yeah.
And, like,
or somebody who's like, hey, what was your dad like? Like, somebody who gets you talking about them.
Yep.
Like, did you, for someone who didn't have, we had such different relationships with our father. Like, did you grieve differently? Like, do you think you grieve differently if your parent isn't as involved in your life? Basically, what's it feel like to have a shitty dad?
Once my mom's dead, I'll tell you how. This is beginning, middle, and end of both.
I would imagine you'd grieve differently if your dad.
With my dad. I mean, I definitely, you know, I cried. I was sad. I wasn't like, God, if we'd only blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Because, you know, my dad, when he did come back, he was broke. And he was an alcoholic. And, you know, we tried to ring him out a few times, put him into program. And, you know, he got his own place. And then we got a call from a hospital that he went drunk to a fucking Irish pub to pick up fish and chips. And
I mean, how else do you go to an Irish pub?
Wasted. Parked his car on the sidewalk, went in, sat on the bar stool, got his feet stuck in the little bar on the bar stool. And when he went to take his to-go fish and chips out after a couple of tighteners at the bar, he fell and hit his head on the bar and went into a fucking blackout coma. And he was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. And we're like, this is going to be the time. Now we're going to get him sober.
Fish and chips will fucking set him straight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
We'll teach him. No more fish and chips.
The one thing that did me in was that fish and chips.
I hit bottom when I hit the bar
and
lost
top.
My fish and chips. That was the good steak fries. Tartar
homemade
sauce.
Homemade vinegar.
we wrung him out, and he moved back into my house for like a year. He lived in my guest room. And then, you know, he just never got his shit back together.
So you probably grieved him. You probably grieved a lot when he was alive.
I started going to Al-Anon meetings, and I started working on my relationship to my dad and separating myself from
while
he was still alive.
Yeah. A lot of people don't do that. I started doing
this fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah. People don't realize that. And then the ramifications of what happens to your psyche, your emotions, and your soul in the wake of having a parent like that undealt with can be detrimental to all your future relationships.
For sure. For sure. And I think that, you know, losing him put the period on the sentence in terms of like, well, he'll never be, he's done being whatever he was going to be, right?
He can't be any worse now.
See, right. And he's definitely never getting sober. Right?
Yeah, you wonder that. Like, is he sober now? Maybe.
So, but there's a relief in, all right, well, that's what it was. Now I'm not, you know, and I let go of, you know, Al-Anon really helped. It took me about a year of going to meetings to really understand how to let somebody have the dignity of their own, like,
what they're
life
doing.
Choices
yep.
and their
yep.
recovery.
That's
if they're
difficult
because
you want to change them so bad.
Well, when it's your fucking dad and you're like, look, I make a good living and, you know, I can help this guy out.
You think
I should
you can
just
fix
help
them.
Him out. Yeah, I can,
everyone
I
thinks
can
they
help
can fix
him.
People like that.
And so when I let that go, I really started to accept who he was. And I told him a couple of years ago on his birthday, I mean, he looked like shit. And I took him down to the beach to grab fish and chips. And
tried to kill him one more time.
I had to sit him on a picnic table.
you tied his feet to the. Don't move.
I usually just strapped him to a board, put him on a. It was like Hannibal Lecter.
Every time you tried to get him sober, you brought him to fish and chips.
Yeah, yeah. Seagulls just kept taking the food out of his belted down arms. But I told him, I could tell he was just in a really bad way. He looked like shit. And I was like, he was talking about how he had really bad swelling in one of his legs and the doctor was maybe going to like take his foot. Right. And I go, and he goes, I don't want to be a burden to you guys. I don't want to stick around if they're going to take my foot. And I go, hey, look, here's the deal. You and I are good.
I don't want to be a burden to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he trotted that one up. Yeah. I was like, really?
Could
we square up?
Yeah.
We square up. I'd like to buy the governor's mansion.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, in
is
the
that
Midwest.
What it's been, you know, this whole thing, this whole time, you just didn't want to be a burden.
Yeah, he just didn't want to be a burden.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Well, I just wanted you to be a dad. I didn't want you to be a burden.
Yeah. Well, he goes, he was like, I wouldn't want to live if they were going to take off my foot. You know, I couldn't get around. And I go, look, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but you're going to miss out on all the free parking spots, the sweet spots.
True. Or, you know, meeting my future wife or children.
That stuff,
but,
too.
You know, but the parking spots.
Yeah, the parking spots.
For, you know, all that sympathy that you would get for, you know, just having the one leg. And so I was like,
probably get a pretty sweet girlfriend out of it.
Probably not.
I mean,
there's still the rest of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Not anymore, but there was.
He made Gary Busey look like a fucking, like, you know, Academy Award winning fucking...
Sober person.
Sober person.
Gary Busey is my spirit animal.
Oh, my God.
I love Gary Busey so much. He's got a book of poetry out, I think.
Oh, my God. Wow. He's the Cezanne of fucking... of
God, if someone made it, he tried it.
He's done it.
He's done it all.
He was not a spectator in this life.
No, he was not.
But anyway, yeah, so I was pretty complete on my dad in whatever however he wanted to end it or however he wanted to go out. And still, when he went out, I was sad. I still cried. I'll tell you one... crazy shift that happened is that, you know, I produce and I write and sometimes I'm in front of the camera and when I had been over the years, anytime that I'd see myself on camera, if it were something I were producing, I would be in the editing bay, and anytime I would see a shot, and it's usually like this angle over, like over my shoulder,
right,
my ears and sort of the side of my head and my profile and my hands remind me of my dad. And it would make me nauseous. And I'd be like, cut around it. And they're like, well, we don't have another shot. And you're talking to that person.
You're like, I don't give a shit.
I don't push in. Push fucking all the way in.
Because you didn't like the association?
The idea of me representing him or looking like him or being like him drove me. Like, I just had a visceral fucking reaction.
Was this posthumously?
No.
This was before.
Before. So after he died, you know, when I would see that, because, you know, I'd see myself on stage at, like, filming comedy shows or whatever, and I would see those mannerisms, especially like this kind of shit,
yeah,
when I'm talking with my hands, and it endears me to him. I actually kind of celebrate it now. I'm actually like,
you have a new relationship
with
him.
I'm like complete on there's no implication.
You can let go. Yeah, you let go of the stuff.
If I'm gonna be like him, I'm gonna be like all of his shit,
right,
you know, or the things that I perceived as shit. I think he thought he was doing fantastic. But
most
yeah,
addicts do.
But it was
for the most part. Half and half.
And no.
Yeah, they're like, I'm doing great. I'm going to die.
An insane amount of pride and entitlement,
yes,
matched with
extreme disparity and,
yeah,
and vulnerability and self hatred.
And yeah, it's
cute. It's a weird amalgamation of emotion.
And they are like welded to each other.
Yes.
So I celebrate him now. You know,
have you seen him? Any ghosts?
No.
Do you believe in that?
I'd like to.
Me too.
I'd really like to. I told you about that book, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yeah.
My mom was really into that book. And I have had that feeling with certain people in my life. Like, God, like, you just meet them and you're like, I know this person.
Yeah, it's weird.
And, you know, like, my mom feels very much like a sibling of mine from some time ago.
You
like,
think that you guys were a sibling in another life?
I think so. We have an incredible connection, like just a really great, we just had a really great, even before my dad split and, you know, we developed like a survivor's bond for being poor. It was like, even before that, it was just, you know, I would walk into the room or she'd walk into the room and like shit would just change for both,
yeah,
of us. And, you know, I know it was hard for my brother and it's hard, you know, to kind of compete with that. But she and I had a really unique, it's like you and your dad.
Yeah, it's a lot like me and my dad with my sisters. But they recognized it.
Well,
we always joked I was the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, and towards the end, last few weeks, but like when he stopped talking prior to that, he was able to speak a little bit. And to make him laugh, I'd be like, "Your favorite daughter's here. Who's that?" And he would laugh and say me. And then he'd be like,
"He'd say the half black one in Miami."
I'm like, "What?
You?"
And then it's
me. Yeah, you'll never know. You'll never know. Yeah, I'll tell you something fucked up. After my dad died, and I collected, and then I had all of my mom's stuff and my dad's stuff in my garage. Right, like
just the
books,
stuff
mementos.
You leave behind.
Oh, Jesus, get rid of your stuff, people.
Please, just like if you're get rid of your shit. If you're near, look, we never know when the last day is going to be. Downsize, if anything, yeah. For the sake of your loved ones, not having to cry over the 2,500 pounds worth of Encyclopedia Britannicas that you ordered online.
Why do I need 16 sets of swim fins?
Yeah, why do you have 37 serving dishes? You never had a party. Yeah, exactly. Why is there? Why do you have a table runner?
Oh, yeah. Fondue. This will be good.
Fondue set. We're gonna do how many this? Times use your air popper? Actually, yeah. I use my popcorn machine all the time.
I have found this box that had my brother's baptism certificate in it.
Whoa.
And so 4.5 years before I was born, when my brother got baptized, he was on his certificate. It says Brett Christopher Lyndon McClure. He had my name's Christopher Lyndon McClure, and he's Brett Lyndon McClure. But he had my
name?
Fucking name.
In his name?
He had my name, and then I was born, and my parents couldn't think of another fucking name.
That you just
so they
gotta
were just
hand
like,
me down
hey, give
name?
Me the one that, what about the one, Brett's not using that one. Give him that one. It's like really not even like Craig, right?
You gotta hand me down middle
Jim.
Name.
You know, it's not hard. I just came up with two like that. You know, Bill. That's our son,
oh
Bill
my God,
McClure.
They
nothing.
They just gave you half
they were
the
just
name.
Like, hey, just take that one from Christopher. And then we'll just call Brett Lyndon. And he'll be Chris. That's good. Fuck it. We're out of here.
I think it's actually kind of smart.
You know what's fucked up? I will never be able to ask either one of them what the fuck that was about.
You won't. Were you lazy? Was there a point?
Yeah.
Who's Christopher?
What were the other fucking contenders?
Yeah. And also, you know? Like, why wasn't there, like, at least a few other options?
Yeah.
And why did your brother have to hang on to Christopher?
Yeah. Fucking. But, yeah, I laughed. When I found it, I laughed. And then I was like, I have no one to ask about this. Because my brother was a baby. And my fucking both my parents
are you gonna name your kid Brandon Christopher Lyndon McClure?
Mayor McClure.
Mayor. You could be Brenda if it's a girl.
Brenda McClure.
Brenda Christopher Lyndon McClure. You have to keep it going. That for the rest of your that should be your lineage. Like that should be what everyone has to do in your family.
Yeah.
So like they only get Brenda.
Jalotus Christopher Lyndon McClure.
The fourth.
Lorenzo Lamas Christopher Lyndon McClure.
What was the other one? But Punjab pajamas.
Punjab Katari.
Punjab Katari beats.
Anyway, yeah. So whatever. Family stuff. It's funny. I went down to
whatever family stuff.
I went down to Lizzie's, my girlfriend's family, extended family. I met for the first time down in Orange County. Her family lives in Malibu, but her extended family all met at her aunt's in Orange County. And so
for the holidays,
yeah, for Thanksgiving,
y'all went cray.
I met like. I think like 30 people for the first time.
That's it. That's a lot. That's when you need alcohol.
Yeah. No, I was fucking.
That's when you just start doing
tuning,
tequila shots.
I was tuning up. Yeah.
When you're like, is it three? Where's tequila?
Yeah, yeah. I don't need ice.
No.
Yeah.
Can I have a straw?
So it was great. But it's funny because every family thinks they're fucked up.
You know, they're the most.
Welcome to our crazy family.
We're dysfunctional. We're functionally dysfunctional.
And I'm
are
like,
you
I
really?
Don't think anyone in here has a fucking double digit credit rating.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I think
also,
you're,
and then
you're
like, come to
fine.
My family.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're all doing fine.
You're all doing
yeah.
great.
Yeah. You want my fucking family reunion? I got a box in my brother's garage with my dad in it.
I have a dead dad box under the bench I'm sitting on right now, yeah. currently.
Yeah.
Dead Dad's Club. What do you like? What do people need to? What do you need to have in the Dead Dad's Club?
That's a good
tissues.
That's a
vodka.
Good question.
Tissues, alcohol, weed.
Yeah. Food.
Food.
Food's great. Food when you're sad. You know, when you're grieving, like being able to stuff yourself and like
you just gotta stuff it.
Well, you know what it is? It's I don't think I don't believe in like stuffing your feelings or doing anything that's avoiding the
thing. No, no, no.
But
stuffing your face.
Comfort foods. Doing things that really celebrate you.
Yes. Things that you like. Celebrating things that you like. Celebrating, you know, I've been wanting to just go to movies and eat popcorn and candy because my dad and I used to do that all the time.
One of the reasons I got my boat was because it's just fucking selfish. It's just for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love having people on my boat, but I, you know, I'm on my way.
It's your happy place. Today.
Yeah. And I go there and I just, if I'm tinkering around on it, I'm happy. If I fucking fire it up and just putt around the marina, I'm happy.
If you just think about ways you could kill your girlfriend over the side of it. I'm just saying you could pull funny people.
Never. I'm not beating. I'm, I can't. I'm not going to.
You're not
going to
be that person. You're breaking the chain.
Well, I'm not going to beat her.
You're not going to beat her?
Well, I mean, do better than her. I might beat her. Oh, I thought about it last night on the drive home from dinner. I was like, where won't bruise fast?
Where can a bruise hide the best?
Honey, put the soap in the sock.
Soap in the sock.
No, she's great. But I doing selfish stuff that just makes you, like, that honors yourself.
That's, and also, like, trying to find some balance. Like,
what's balance?
You know, stuffing your face and eating foods that you love, but also like going out for a walk, getting outside, getting out in nature a little bit. Like, you know, for me, it's been like smoking a little bit of blunt, taking the dogs hiking a little bit. Like when I feel, you know, there were a couple days, there literally was a day I told you where I fucked everything up that I possibly could. My team meeting was at 1. I thought it was 3.
Yeah.
I'm in the shower at 1 and they're like, we're here. I'm like, I'm literally, my pussy's in my hand with soap.
Well, there you go.
Not going to make it.
Wow.
Fuck that up.
They're like, we got a meeting at Jess's house.
Yeah. They're like, we'll be right over.
Yeah.
Tacos. It's
blowing smoke rings.
And then I told you that and you're like, just, you're fine. I think that what you said was you have the right to do this for, you have an excuse for a little while.
Yeah.
People understand. Oh, and I was like, okay. Yeah. I felt a little bit better.
Sure.
I was like, I gotta be stopping so hard on myself. And then later on that afternoon, I had to go do Josh Wolf's Controlled Chaos show. And so I put the address in my phone, and like a lot of big cities, there are 14 Hermosa streets within a county.
Well, now everybody knows where Josh Wolf lives.
You gotta find the county, bitch. But I was like, I'm here. He's like, I don't see you. I'm like, please tell me you're Los Angeles. He's like, are you in DTLA? I was like, yeah. He goes, we're in Burbank. I was like, son of a bitch.
Now we've narrowed it down to like 3.
So like, and I was like, fuck it. And that night, I booked a VIP package show for Dark Rooms. And you're like, I remember you being like, great. So you've had a total day of failure, and you're celebrating with sad music.
Oh, not only
like,
that.
You were
like, I'm in Silver Lake at a sushi place, drunk on sake by myself, going to go see Dark Rooms. I'm like, why don't you just
walk
why don't you
traffic.
Put on Iron and Wine and start cutting? Just hit the gas. Go into the skid.
I literally stopped by a sushi place, got sake drunk. The kid next to me was from Syracuse.
Hmm.
What are the chances of that? Sat down, met this kid from Syracuse. I got sake drunk, went to go see Dark Rooms. My VIP ticket was for a different band. I spent $150 for some other band. I didn't even get like the tickets.
What is VIP at fucking that club anyway?
Well, you get like,
you get to piss in a bathroom that doesn't have hepatitis.
You get to get fingered by the keyboardist.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, they wear gloves. And they're shearing gloves.
Soft hands.
No,
though.
Shearing. Yeah.
Keyboard players?
Very soft. You'll never feel them through the shearing gloves.
God,
but you can imagine.
I haven't been fingered in years.
Too bad. You need to get you around some uncles.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it just was one of those days where I'm like, you know what? I just
but you get to do that.
Mark it up for a loss.
You get to do that. And I think also one of the other things that helped me, and it still helps me anytime I get really fucking emotionally overwhelmed or feeling like I'm fucked or my heart's going to break and I'm never going to be the same. Being of service, finding a way to be there like for you, right? I also, you know, I had a friend reach out to me one time when I was just in the middle of losing my fucking mind. She was like, hey, my friend is her mom has early onset, and would you talk to her? Like a total stranger, right? And I was like, yeah. And I spent like an hour on the phone with her while I was at Up Rocks. That's what they were paying me for. So I'm walking around across the soundstage just having this fucking heart-to-heart powwow with this total stranger.
Early onset.
Yeah, and about, you know, the signs and kind of what to expect. And she was like, I just, this is so nice of you to do this. I'm like, you don't understand. This is a huge, huge fucking contribution to me. Like, being able to do this is, you know, it resets you when you're being of service.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear how fucked other people are.
It is good because it makes you realize, oh, okay, me having a bottle of sake and a blunt on a Tuesday morning isn't so bad.
Well, at the end of the day, none of us want to feel, although we like to be alone, none of us want to feel alone.
We don't. And that's, you know, that, for me, that's one of the things I think that causes so much emotional stress and sadness is your parent leaving you. Mm-hmm. The sense of abandonment, you know, the sense of you really are born alone and you die alone.
Yeah.
You know, we're all alone.
Oh my God.
I just had to lighten it up a little because I realized how sad that is. But also, the upside of that is for me, and maybe for you as well, I've realized what I can cope with. I've realized that there's beautiful moments in all of this craziness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's what makes the jukebox play. It's what makes songs mean things. It's what makes us, you know, fucking
live deep in moments.
And sit in this fucking experience. You know, it'd be worthless if we need all the colors. We need all that fucking darkness and sadness. But also, you know, we don't let other people in sometimes.
No.
And so, you know, our parents were already in. You know, they were like, you know, they're the family pet that never died.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. They were here when I was born. I don't know how old the dog is. 76? And so when they go, there's this, holy shit, this was a constant thing that I let in that was always there for better or for worse. And then you realize, you look at your life and you're like, how many other fucking people am I going to let in? You know, and love's that way. Like, love, you have to, like, you got to be able to play full out and love and let people in. And
you got
to
let those motherfuckers in.
You got to let them in. And, you know, sometimes you get fucked over, but you also, like, you could be really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, sometimes you find yourself in a courtroom on February 14th, Valentine's Day, getting a restraining order, but you'll be fine.
Well, it depends on where you let them in.
Right. Oh, the asshole is a good place. Okay. So don't let them in your asshole.
We call that's the danger zone. All right, it's the no fly. Oh
my God. I think one of the ways you can deal with grieving
is anal. Yeah, one of the ways is definitely in the butthole, and it takes your mind off of things. It'll change your sleep schedule.
The stages of grieving are, in no particular order, actually in a very particular order.
Are you going to work anal into this?
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But Christopher McClure's stages of grieving are anal, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Repeat, rinse, and repeat.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yep.
I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Where do you think you are?
Definitely anal. Right in the anal. I think I'm still in denial. I think I'm going to be
in denial.
You don't think so?
No. You're not in denial.
I definitely was in depression.
Read them off again.
Denial, mm-hmm. Anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance are part of the framework. It's a Kubler-Ross model. But there's questions between 7 stages of grief or 5. The more traditional one that actually has been, you know, displayed in like psychology books as the Kubler-Ross
model. And on the
model.
Wall of Z Gallery?
Yeah, and then on the wall of Marshall's decorative plaques that tell you what you should do with your day. Shock and denial, pain and guilt, anger and bargaining, depression, the upward turn. This sounds like a script writing glossary.
Sounds like movie beats.
It does sound like movie beats.
The catalyst, the inciting incident. The hero storms the castle.
And then he dies. These are ways to deal with the death.
So where do you think you are? Do you think you're in depression?
I don't think I'm in anger. I think I'm in the depression zone.
Yeah.
I think I am a little bit. You think so?
Yeah, you have no makeup on right now. You knew I was coming here. The fuck is this?
And I have a hat on.
Yeah, you farted 6 times. Yeah, you've let
I'm
it,
in the flatulent
you're just letting
stage.
It all go.
You know what stage I'm in?
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Wow. Oh. Get a mop. Oh.
Oh my God, that's a stage.
That fart is called the laundry day. Yeah. If it wasn't, it is now. It's laundry day. What'd you do? I shit my pants on a podcast.
I got so sad talking about my dead dad, I shit my pants.
Yeah.
Where can my people find you? You and I actually have been working on so many things for the past year and a half.
Yeah. Where can they find me? I am Chris McClure, ChrisMcClure, on Instagram and the Twitters. Yeah, they can find me there.
And
where else?
Where else can they find you? You have anything coming up you're excited about? Your birthday's December 22nd.
My birthday is December 22nd. No shows. But
you got a couple projects that you've been working on.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I mean, I think your main project should be doing the Dead Dad's starter kit box.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a subscription. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's like the Birch Box.
It is.
It's going to be called the Pine Box.
The Birch Box. And then
the Pine Box. I just sent out tiny caskets.
They open the box.
Here it is.
And that's what it sounds like.
You are just, what happened that made you so obsessed with farts?
My dad.
And your dad just did it to you?
Oh my God. My mom, every time I would, like, even to this day when I fart around her, I did not raise you that way.
Yeah.
I did not raise my children to do that. It's my dad. He would do pull. He was the pull my finger guy.
Yeah.
The last thing he laughed at before he died was farts. So I have an excuse for the rest of my fucking life.
All right. All right. I mean, farts are fucking hysterical.
Farts are funny.
There's just no two ways about it.
Farts are funny.
Yeah.
So my
girlfriend
dead
is not into fart humor.
She's not?
No, I wish she was.
I mean, she should be because of the cookies that
she
lays.
Throw down.
Holy
and they're silent.
Nagasaki.
They're silent. And
it is World War II realness.
It is literally
coming
like
out of that asshole.
I don't want to talk about it because I made a joke about it the other night. We were out with some friends, and I made some joke about farting, about her farting.
And she did
and
not
she
like
looked
it.
At me.
She sent you the devil stare. She's gonna be mad at me talking about her farts, but
she hit me a few minutes later and she goes, "You gotta stop doing that."
Well, she has to stop leaving us in elevators.
Holy fuck. Remember that?
I barely.
Your left eyebrow fell off. I looked over. I'm like, Jesus Christ. She having a stroke?
She just
turned into powder.
She let...
Look like you got hit by lightning.
She let us blame it on those Asian businessmen.
Chinese businessmen.
She's like, yeah, that was brutal.
Whoa.
I was like, Jesus.
Man, they brought that all the way from China. Fuck. She got racist.
And it was her ass.
I'm telling you, she's so beautiful. I just don't know how that comes out of her. There's another one.
Love you, Chris.
Love you too, buddy.